Ready? Gaundy and Maz. The Hit Breakfast
Show. It's Avicii, 7:39, Hit Breakfast with Gaundy and Maz.
Our little hero, his name is Jesse. He's a 9-year-old kid and he saw his mum dive into the pool a few weeks ago and she didn't come back up and he sprung into action. He actually did a move that he saw on Bondi Rescue and he managed to save her life. She fractured her spine when she dove into the pool and little Jesse saved his own mother's life. And it's just the most beautiful, amazing story of this kid who's seen one of his heroes on the TV saving lives and now he's done it himself.
Take a listen to the parents talking about it.
Honestly, I thought I was going to die at one point. Being face down and not being able to do anything, it went quiet and I thought that was it. He's my little superhero.
Warren's still wrapping his head around his son's incredible bravery.
I'm not a religious person, but miraculous that he knew what to do on that date for nothing more than watching Bondi Rescue.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? And we have from Bondi Rescue, Hoppo joining us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Gorni and Ash. How are you?
Oh, it's actually Maz filling in for Ash. Ash is...
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
On maternity.
No, don't worry about it, mate. It's Maz all good. Here. It's been a while since we've had a chat. What I love about this story, Hoppo, is your job is to save lives, but now somebody watching you saving a life has saved another life. How does that make you feel?
Oh, yeah, it makes me feel very proud. And it's something that it's happening a lot now around the world. I'm getting messages all the time that due to Bondi Rescue, it's saving lives, and it's great to see.
Hoppo, do you really think someone can watch the TV and know what they're doing? I mean, I know it's paid off in this case, but I just feel like watching the television doesn't really translate into real life.
Yeah, I think that, you know, they might not be doing it 100% correct, but it's enough to keep them alive and not panic. I think by watching the show, watching what we do, it keeps that panic out when something happens. And I think this is what happened to Jesse. You know, he's only 9 years old and it's an amazing story.
And did you have a video chat with Jesse over the weekend? I mean, what was that like for you to meet this kid who idolises you? And I feel like you kind of idolise him a little bit now because he is a little hero.
Yeah, no, it was a good little chat. It was very quiet and shy as a 9-year-old is. And yeah, we had a good chat. We can tell how proud he is. And, you know, saving your mother at that age is something that he'll think about probably for the rest of his life. And when he gets a bit older, it'll probably really... you know, it'll resonate in there that how good it was.
He might not even understand. At 9, I don't know what your comprehension is of saving a life. Like, he might not realise how impactful his, like, quick thinking was.
Yeah, I don't think he realises at the moment. I think that won't kick in until he's a bit older. So, you know, it's a great memory he's going to have. And hopefully his mother's on a recovery now. So hopefully she can continue with the rehab and get back to... full capacity.
Circumstances like that, you don't even have time to think, do you? You just jump in and just somehow you just know what you need to do to get the job done. And interesting to hear you say this isn't an individual story. So this happens all around the world and you hear from people, Hoppo.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing especially one stands out from the Northern Territory. Her young 2-year-old fell in the backyard pool. She ran out, no CPR training whatsoever, but a fanatical Bondi Rescue watcher. And pulled him out, started resuscitation to what she could see from what we did on the show. Did enough for the paramedics to turn up and he made a full recovery. And she, to this day, said that if she didn't watch the show or the show didn't exist, she would have stood there in a mass panic.
That's crazy.
Wow,
that is honestly
so wild.
Yeah.
Was
nuts.
That the heart of the show when it first launched? Because you guys have been on the air for a long time now, Hoppo. And was that, I guess, the idea behind Bondi Rescue?
Yeah, I mean, it's been 15 years that we've done, and that was the main reason was, you know, getting the messaging out there on water safety and the skills that you need to save people's lives and also what professional lifeguards do. And it's not just a turn up and watch the water and have some fun, you know. It's also, there's a serious side to the job.
Yeah.
And how does Bondi Rescue look in the age of COVID-19 with social distancing restrictions? There's been beach closures this year. We're not really sure what's going to happen in 2021.
Yeah, look, it was an eye-opener for us. We had to close the beach back in March for the 5 weeks. And we've put procedures in place over the winter coming into this summer. And we've got ambassadors now that go around the beach and keep people, spread them out when they're sitting down. And that's been working extremely well. And but our priority is obviously the water and keeping an eye on that and making sure everyone that enjoys the beach goes home safe and sound.
That's right. And did you get a chance to ask Jesse, does he want to be a lifeguard when he grows up, or is he still weighing up his options?
Yeah, I did ask the question. He said, oh, look, yeah, I might look at that. But yeah, didn't give me a 100% answer. So,
I mean, he's young.
Yeah, he's only young, but I said, mate, you, I'll be retired by then, mate. You can have my job.
Yes. He needs to get on board. Hoppo from Bondi Rescue. We have a common saying in radio not to take things too seriously because we're not saving lives here. You don't have that luxury, but it's amazing work that you guys do, and we appreciate you joining us on the show.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Good thanks, on you, mate. Hoppo. Take it easy.
And next on the show, though, I have been in a situation.
You have saved a life.
Yeah.
I have not heard this story. Mm-hmm. I am excited to hear this story. And you also have, is the letter to do with the?
Oh, yes.
You brought a letter in and you were like, I've got the letter. And I was like, I don't know what that's for. And now it's all making sense.
Where is the letter?
Oh, it's over let's there. Go get it.
It is here. The
can't
lady,
save a life, can't find a letter.
The person whose life we saved, they
wrote you a letter.
Yes, which is right here.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I'll let you know what that is
let's
next.
Tell the story next.
It's the songs you love from then to now. I get that feeling on Hit Four Strings. Take Me Away, 8:23, Hit Breakfast with Gaundy and Maz.
Hey, this is interesting. I didn't realise this, but Paris Hilton. Even though the guys
are crazy. Can I just say, this is a tune. I love it.
Oh. You regret saying that?
A little bit, but it just...
You actually just, it sounded like you vomited a little in your own
I
mouth.
I think I did,
then.
Yeah. But I stand by what I said.
You love this song.
I wouldn't say love, I just don't hate it like some hate it. Well, if it comes on in my car, I'm turning it up. That's all I'm saying. Don't mind it.
Did you know Paris Hilton invented the selfie?
That's unbelievable.
I mean, it's a self, like she's claiming it herself. I don't know that there's any proof that she did, but 14 years ago, apparently, she took a photo of her and Britney Spears and she was holding the camera. They flipped the camera around and they took a photo of themselves and they posted that online in 2006. And she reckons that that was the very first ever selfie. And then selfies just exploded from there.
I believe her.
She reckons she invented the selfie. And I thought, that is super interesting. And she's probably right. Let's be honest. In 2006... she would have been one of the most photographed women in the world, definitely. And she's hanging out with Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears and they're all gal-palling around and they're getting their photo taken. And I think to control the narrative, she would have taken her own photos and put them online.
I think she might have been the first to post a selfie, but the first one to ever take a selfie. I used to have those little Kodak disposable cameras and I used to turn around and take photos of myself well before. What was that?
Down your pants?
No.
Did you ever do that? No. You've never done that.
No, what is that?
Never got a disposable Kodak. This is something that my guy mates did in high school all the time.
Here we go.
It was like, this is like classic 90s lols. Yeah. My guy mates, if you go to someone's party, this is what happened at my high school. People would buy those Kodak disposable cameras and leave them around the party and go, just grab... take a photo, and then they would take the cameras to the photo developing place and then get all the photos back of the party. And there were several photos of male genitalia because guys would get the cameras and take their pants down, take photos of the thing and then leave the camera there, and then it would be like, oh, whose junk is that?
Maybe they invented nudes. Maybe that's where nudes started.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. Brent Kirk was like
name and shame.
Serial offender.
There's some photos circulating of Brent Kirk out there somewhere.
So off track. It's all right. How do we even get back on track?
I like being off track.
Where I wanted to go with this story is Paris Hilton reckons she invented the selfie, and I think I invented something that's highly popular. Do you remember the TV show So You Think You Can Dance?
Yes.
Remember that? 2008, Nat Bass was hosting it.
Yep.
It was a success. It was huge. Well, pre-2008, in 2006, I was working at MTV and I actually filmed a pilot TV show called MTV's Battle Royale.
Oh, man, I would pay to see this footage.
And the premise of this dance show was that there were two groups that would learn opposing dancers like and then babble it out like in this video clip from Run DMC. Exactly the same.
Would you still have the footage? Please tell me.
That one of the, I know the girl who shot it, her name's Claire. She used to work at Mamma Mia. And I could maybe try and find it. But that we filmed the pilot. We hired a dance studio. We had, because I used to be a dancer. So I got one of my girlfriends, Jess, to do one crew and then another mate to do another crew. And we filmed the whole thing. And we were going to do MTV's Battle Royale. And we were going to pitch it to Ian Thorley, who was the head of the network at the time. And we were so excited. And then it just kind of fizzled. And then So You Think You Dance happened. And I was like, oh, well, they either stole my idea or everyone has the same idea and they got theirs to F.
It's a big call. Big call that you invented that show. Yes. We have a couple of things to track down from this.
Okay.
The footage from that.
I'm going to try. I'll hit Claire up and see if she's got it. This was 2006.
And your mate taking nudes. What's his name again?
Oh, Brendan. Mate, I'm just going to put that right out there now.
Want us to track them down and burn them.
Gaundy and Maz.
Tell you what, it's been a while since I've heard it.
Such a good tune.
And I love it. Gwen Stefani, Akon, The Sweet Escape, 6:41. It's Hit Breakfast with Gaundy and Maz. 3, 2, 1.
Okay. Trending right now. Hit.com.au.
You know who was trying to make a sweet escape? And that is Tommy Keefe. He was at a mate's birthday party and was hoeing into the rumbles that were on offer in the dessert grazing platter, I assume they have. And then he gets in his car and he's driving home and I think he snuck a few of those rumbles into his pockets because he was still eating them in the car, right, when the car was pulled over by the cops.
Pee platter as well, so you can't even blow like the tiniest bit of alcohol. But I didn't think you could have enough rumbles to tip you over the edge.
Neither did Tommy Keefe.
Neither did he. Pee platter from Perth, have a listen to his explanation.
Cakes are cakes. Who's going to question cakes? I've had plenty of rumbles before and they haven't been used cooked with rum or anything. It's like essence or something like that. Still eating them. Very confident that I'm going to pass. Turns out I didn't. I was looking at 9 months suspension, I think, and he downgraded it to 3 months.
Tommy boy, come on.
Like he's still on the rumbles there, doesn't it?
Well, I mean,
it's unfortunate, though. Yeah. Like, he did not, he alleges that he didn't intend to be consuming alcohol. He thought that the rumbles were made with, as he said, an essence of types that would make it taste like rum but not be laced with alcohol. But obviously the person that made them is like drowning them in some Bundy.
He loves them so much. They were sitting down doing the report while eating more rumbles. Him and the reporter just sitting there, just knocking them back. Love them that much.
Poor guy. So he's lost his license for a few months. It's a real bummer.
3 months. 3 months on the old rumbles.
Look, as it's nearly Christmas, I feel like this is the season where people like to lace their desserts with some booze. My mum does this with our family trifle recipe. Now, I don't drink alcohol, so I need to have like a warning about this kind of stuff because I don't want to accidentally tap into something that's laced with alcohol, especially when I'm not having a few wines after the fact.
Messy Maz might come out.
But 131060, Christmas. If this happens in your family, so is there someone in your family who makes the dessert and they just like lace it with some booze? I want to know what you guys are doing because I feel like you might need to give a bit of a warning after this story to people who might be driving home. So my mum has this English trifle recipe. I was born in the UK. And so we have a few sort of proper traditional English staples on our Christmas table for lunch. And mum, I swear, as the years go on, she just puts more and more sherry into. So usually like you have a sponge that's like kind of, you know, usually it's like the mandarin tin syrup or something that you sort of make the sponge all soft and wet with. But mum just uses half a bottle of sherry in that stuff now. Well, to the point now where she has to do like her trifle and then like a kid-friendly trifle, which is the one that I tap into, which has no alcohol in it because the other one is so potent. Like you could light that thing on fire, seriously.
I think you get excited, don't you? You know,
Mum
you add
does.
A little bit, you taste it, doesn't taste like alcohol,
it's
so you
a
add
bit
a little
of
bit more.
Bit for the trifle, bit for Mum's Eats, a little bit more for the trifle, a little bit more for Mum's Eats.
Does it have to be dessert? Because I'll get a bit of red wine into a bolognese,
what?
You know, into a bit of a Italian sauce, just sort of splash the red and splash a bit more red.
Oh, you're having leftovers for breakfast. That's dangerous.
Just bang, yeah.
Do you ever have the leftovers for brekkie? Because that could be, that could tip you over the edge first thing in the morning straight out of the gate.
I haven't even thought about it, to be honest.
How much red wine are you sticking in your bolognese?
A bit.
What, like half a bottle?
The wine cooks out of the sauce, apparently. Our producer, Matt, loves to cook.
The alcohol cooks out of the sauce. Oh, so it's not that toxic.
So what you're saying is add a little more, Matt.
Yeah, so you're supposed to cook it off until you have the flavour, but there's no alcohol left in it.
How long is that, though?
I don't know. I do it by feel.
Yeah, you
by
just feel,
feel
it.
By feel? You can just feel when the alcohol has been, like, steamed out of the bolognese.
I think so.
What does that even mean? You have some bolognese and you don't get plastered, so you're like, yeah, it must be fine.
A little bit for the bolognese, a little bit for me, a little bit more for me, a bit for the bolognese.
So we're doing any kind of meal here. Again, leading into Christmas, this is peak time for people lacing their food with booze. 131060, if you want to dob in a family friend, or, like, if it's you, hey, Gorny just admitted it.
We should probably say cook responsibly.
Yeah, definitely cook responsibly, but I'm also super intrigued. Like, what are people putting booze in?
131060. It's Hit Breakfast with Gorndy and Maz. I know it's very early in the week, Maz, but this could be my favourite audio of the week already. And I don't know if anything's going to top this yet.
Okay, we'll see.
It's big at the start of the week. So there's a pea platter in Perth. His name is Tommy Keefe, and he's blown over in a breathalyzer, all thanks to some rumbles.
Cakes are cakes. Who's going to question cakes? I've had plenty of rumbles before. Still eating them. Very confident that I'm going to pass. Turns out I don't. I was looking at 9 months suspension, I think, and he downgraded it to 3 months.
So he legitimately blew over the blood alcohol rate for pea platers because he ate so many rumbles. And to be fair, if he thought that they were made with essence and they were actually made with Bundy or whatever, that's a real shock to the system.
It also comes down to who's making them too. Like, I think his ones were laced pretty heavily with the rum.
Well, from that audio alone, it sounds like he had one too many rumbles and they were heavily laced with rum.
He's not alone. 131060 this morning. And a bit of alcohol to food, Liz.
Hey, Liz.
Hi. Always. Hey, guys. How
Always.
Are you?
Always. What are you cooking with and shoving some booze into?
Oh, it just depends on what colour I like, red or white. So a full bottle goes in my bolognese.
A bottle?
Of red. Yeah.
A full bottle.
For where the alcohol's gone.
Oh, yeah, sure. Fair enough.
And what do the kids eat? What do the kids eat when you do that?
I got told, Matt told me I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Don't ask me questions. I'm not allowed to answer.
Oh, wow. Yep.
No, they're eating the bolognese.
And then we got drunken chicken on the barbie. Shove a can up its clacker.
A can? Of what?
Yeah, of beer or cider's good. Cider goes nice.
You stick a cider in the chook.
And I've chuck it in the barbie.
And what happens? Does the can break? Is that how the flavour gets in?
Well, yeah, you snap it open a little bit. So, like, with the heat, all the steam of the can comes out and the flavour just bubbles inside the chicken. It's beautiful.
This is amazing.
Tastes good.
And then you got chicken supreme, which is white wine and cream and parmesan cheese and chicken breast.
You should. Do you have a recipe book? This, I feel, could be a thing for you, Liz.
Yeah, I think rumbles are in trouble because you don't cook the alcohol. You got to cook the alcohol.
Oh,
so
that's
keep
what it
going.
Is. You don't cook like a truffle. You don't actually cook, do you? That's why the rum is so potent.
Here's a question for you, Liz. Is there anything you make that doesn't have alcohol in it?
Just got to go make my kids breakfast. So, yeah.
Just some Weet-Bix. Thanks, Liz.
She's the best. We've got Terry on 131060. Hey, Tez.
Good morning.
Hey, mate. So who is sticking alcohol in your family food?
My wife. She cooks the best fruitcake Christmas time. She usually ends up soaking the fruit in a whole bottle of brandy for about 2 to 3 months.
Oh, so that's the fruit for your Christmas pud.
Yeah.
That's a long game, isn't it? 2 or 3 months getting ready for that.
Yeah. Wow.
Every week she's turning it over and turning it over. So, you know, the alcohol sort of seeps down through all the fruit. Yeah, right.
And when you guys, when she presents it at the Christmas table for lunch, does she present it set on fire? Because I have seen that done before where people light the Christmas cake or the Christmas pudding because there's so much alcohol in there.
No. This one she boils. She boils it for hours and then reboils it on the day.
And away you go. There you go. Okay.
It's the old cloth one.
Oh, the old, yeah, that's the traditional Christmas pud.
Yeah, and is she the loosest family member, would you say, on Christmas Day?
Oh, no, no, that's my title.
Oh, that's your title. Yeah, I thought so, Tez. I thought so, mate.
Gaundy and Maz.
Miley Cyrus and Stevie Nicks, Midnight Sky. 7:21, it's Hit Breakfast with Gaundy and Maz.
The Wellness Rebellion.
I can't stop the feeling. We're kicking off the Wellness Rebellion this morning. If this is the first time you've heard about the Wellness Rebellion, where have you been? But it's okay because you can start a good thing any day of the week, and today is a good day. So the Wellness Rebellion really is a bit of a health kick, a bit of a wellness reset for everybody leading into the silly season. So what we wanted everyone to do is to find one thing that they've thought about doing all year in relation to bettering their wellness and commit to it and do it every single day. And I'm going to help you along the way because that is what I love doing.
Today's a great day to start, given that it is the beginning. So jump on to hit.com.au and there's plenty of people doing this with you.
Yeah, there's so many people. And what I love, what we've asked people to identify, go to hit.com.au to register and you can just plug in your goal. So what do you want to achieve? What is the one thing you want to start or you want to stop? And then what we're going to do every Monday is we're going to pop a video on our social pages that you guys can watch to inspire you to get through the week. And then we check in with you guys midweek to give you some more tips and tools on how you can round out the week for success. So today's video is going up this morning.
This is it.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Wellness Rebellion. We're kicking things off today and I want you to focus on one thing. That's what we're drilling down into for the next 4 weeks, guys. I want you to think of that one thing that you want to achieve when it comes to your health and wellness. So let's break this all down a little bit. You're either going to start something. So maybe you want to lose some of those COVID kilos. You might want to start a little bit of an exercise regime or start moving every day. Or maybe you want to stop something. So maybe you want to stop eating so much sugar or processed food, stop drinking, stop having so much coffee. I think that there's a lot more options when it comes to stopping. Either way, what is that one small change you're going to make? Because you're going to make it every single day this week and I'm going to help you do it.
There it is.
So what you guys need to do when you join the Wellness Rebellion is really simple. You need to identify the one thing you're going to stop or start and then you need to write it down. Don't type it out. I need you to get either a piece of paper, a post-it note, a journal, a diary, whatever, and physically write down with a pen on paper that one thing. I need you to read that every single day. And it's just one thing. I think we get so overwhelmed when we're like, I've got to do this, you know, complete reboot and overhaul and I've got to change everything and throw out all the food in my pantry. All I'm asking you to do is identify one thing and do the one thing because all of those small steps add up to the big transformation.
I've already done mine today.
So you've committed to meditating every single day for the next 4 weeks, Gaundy.
10 minutes a day minimum. Did mine before the show this morning. And the great thing about this app that I use is that you can mark down how you felt prior and then how you felt afterwards and then it logs it in the calendar. So you can see there.
Excellent.
I'm on the board. I'm on the board already for a Monday.
How good is that?
Yeah, done.
That is excellent.
Are you doing anything?
I am.
What are you doing?
So I've decided that I
to start drinking again.
No.
You're going to drink
can
every day.
Can you imagine after 6 years if I started drinking again?
Just going to get on the booze
also,
every
that
day.
Would highly discredit me as a wellness coach and an alcohol-free ambassador.
Yep.
I've decided to, I do have one thing that I really struggle with getting under wraps. And it's been since I stopped drinking. Because what happens, if you are stopping drinking on the Wellness Rebellion, you'll notice that your sugar cravings go through the roof. Because there's a lot of sugar in alcohol. And so I did replace my daily drinking habit with some sweet old chocolate for a while there. And it's crept back in as a bit of a habit. So I've decided to not eat any chocolate for the next 4 weeks. No chocolate.
That is tough over Chrissy.
Not one bit of chocolate. I feel like we're wrapping this up just before Christmas Day.
Good
so
timing.
That's great timing.
Good timing.
But that's the one thing that I do. Like, even if I go and do a really hectic workout at the gym and then I get home and then the afternoon happens and then the evening happens and I'm like, oh, I just feel like a little bit of a sweet thing. And then I have a whole block of chocolate. So I'm going to stop that habit. So that's mine. And that's a big one for me. So Day one.
Did
it's
you
day
smash
one.
Any yesterday just in preparation to go, I'm not going to have this for the next 4 weeks?
No, because we ran out because I ate it all on Saturday.
Damn. All right, get on board, guys. Hit.com.au.
Yes.
You can be a part of it.
We're doing it together as a team.
Over the next 4 weeks.
You ready? Gordy and Maz, the Hit Breakfast Show.